I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and just hold them for a moment. This morning, some of you who usually sit in the back rows over here to my right noticed that you got displaced today. And that's because we have the Hansen and the Green family here with us this morning that needed the extra seats. We haven't made an official announcement in the bulletin in regards to this, but Edna Green passed away earlier this week, and so the family is gathering from around the Northwest in order to gather around the family at this time. So we want to just pause for a moment and pray for the Hansen family, especially want to pray for Edna's daughters who are part of our youth ministry and kids ministry here. Trinity and Destiny. And so if you would just pause with me for a moment as we lift up the family to the Lord today. Spirit of God, I thank you that you are present among us here today and that your presence has been manifest. We've sensed that you are here. And Lord, this morning we lift up this family to you and pray that they also would sense your presence ministering to them. You have been called the Prince of Peace, the Comforter, and we pray this morning that they would find that to be true in their own hearts, in their own spirits. Lord, that where there's unrest and questions and pain, that, Lord, you would displace those things with the surety of your presence. May the Prince of Peace minister to each of them. May the great Comforter, the one who comes alongside us, the great Counselor, also minister to their hearts and their minds. Lord, we pray that you would make these days as the family gathers together, days of pondering who you are and the work that you've done in their lives. Lord, that you would do a good thing among them, even as they gather around such a difficult time. We pray your blessing upon them. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. And thanks for coming and being a part of the service this morning. It's been mentioned a couple of times already this morning that today is the first Sunday of Advent. And for those that don't know what the word Advent means, that just simply means coming, the comings. And so this is the first Sunday that we recognize the coming of Jesus Christ to earth. But not only that first coming, but subsequent arrivals of the person of Jesus or the presence of Jesus. And we'll talk about those over the course of the next 4 weeks leading up to the last time that we light the center candle on Christmas Eve at a Christmas Eve service that we'll be doing here. And each of those times that we light the candle is a reminder of a different aspect of the Advent season. And so even as Pastor Blake mentioned a few moments ago, we hope that you slow down and pause and reflect on those themes as we go through this Advent season. And so today being the first Sunday of Advent, which marks the beginning of these 4 weeks of preparation for celebration of the first coming of Jesus to the world as a human. Advent time is a time to let every heart prepare him room. It's a time of slowing down in the midst of a rushing culture, resisting the pressures of materialism. It's a time for contemplating the extravagant love that God demonstrated by sending his only son to earth to redeem mankind to himself. It's a time when we celebrate the greatest gift ever given by exchanging gifts with those that we love. For some people, the Advent season is not about celebration, but a time of darkness, a time of melancholy, as the season reminds them or brings to mind bad memories or circumstances that they've experienced in the past. It should not be so for the child of God who understands the immense love that Dad in heaven has for them, regardless of the circumstances that they have found themselves in. But we are, after all, human. The first Sunday of Advent has particularly special meaning to me as it marks the completion of another year of ministry at Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. Today I'm grateful that the Lord has called me to pastor here for 15 years now. And tomorrow I begin my 16th year of ministry among you. And as I think back over the past 15 years, I am amazed at the journey that we have walked together. Some of you have been here for more than those 15 years, but for some, it's been 15 years together that we have walked out our faith in the Lord. And God has been faithful to us through the good, the bad, and the ugly. His Holy Spirit has not left us once, though there have been times that we have had difficulty sensing His presence amidst the storms of life and ministry. But Jesus never said that caring for His bride would be an easy task. In fact, He said that it required dying to self, picking up a cross daily, and following Him. You know, pastoral ministry can be especially tiring because it's more than a job. It's a calling that involves whole life. Lately, some of you have rightly observed that I've been tired lately. And to use the words that were penned by J.R.R. Tolkien in his book, The Fellowship of the Ring, this is Bilbo Baggins who says this, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread." Do you remember a game that you played as a child called telephone? You sit in a circle with a bunch of people and usually friends. And the more people there were, the better the game was. And the first person or whoever was elected to be the first person would whisper a phrase into the ear of the person next to them. And they would in turn whisper what they thought that they heard to the person next to them. And so on and so forth until the last person has received the message, and then they tell the whole group exactly what they had heard. And by the time that process of transmission had taken place, the phrase had been so convoluted that it was funny. It was laughable. It was usually not anything close to the original phrase that was said in the first place. Well, in our assembly, there's been a little bit of telephone being played in the congregation over the past couple of weeks in regards to how's Pastor Lowell doing these days? And the best way to prevent a convoluted, bad outcome in regards to how I'm doing these days is for you to hear it right from the horse's mouth. That would make me the horse. I want to tell you today that I'm working through what is referred to as compassion fatigue. And I also want to tell you that I'm going for counseling and that you are paying for it. In the second week of November, the board graciously allowed me to take a week of respite for counsel, rest, contemplation, and prayer at a Christian leaders retreat in Vernon. Now, you laughed when I said that you're paying for it, but in reality, that's what happened. You see, this church has committed to giving a tithe of its general income to the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, British Columbia, Yukon District Network. And one of the three priorities of the BC Yukon District is clergy health. And so counseling, training, and the Clergy Care Network of Focus on the Family is provided to every credential holder in the province as is needed. So this district believes that the health of a pastor's soul is of utmost importance. And though there is also a need for proper nutrition and exercise for the body and education for the mind, ultimately the soul is the health of the soul is of utmost importance to the leaders of this district for the pastors. In 1 Samuel, there's a story that tells about one of the lowest days in David's life. It was before he was a king. He was had been living on the run from King Saul. And he was consistently fighting against the enemies of Israel and also against and running from Saul. And one day, while he was away from his village with all of his warriors, a band of raiders attacked the village and captured his two wives, his children, and took all of his earthly possessions and burned the village to the ground. The men who fought alongside David suffered the same losses. And when they returned to find the village burned out and their families and possessions all gone, they wanted to stone David to death. And it says in Scripture that David withdrew to a solitary place. And I love this line. It says, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He withdrew to a solitary place and strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he was able to come back to his men, discern the will of the Lord for the next steps, and then rescued everybody's families from the hands of their captors. When Jesus ministered among the crowds of people, teaching, preaching, demonstrating God's love to and compassion to the crowds by healing them and delivering them from bondage, it says that he would often leave the crowd and withdraw to a solitary place and spend time in communion with the Father. And this was the pattern that he established for his followers to emulate. And so a couple of weeks ago, I spent 7 days to stop, to rest, to delight in him, and to contemplate in prayer and in the Word. And I will tell you, it was life-giving. I want to thank you for the gift of that 7-day sabbatical in order to care for my soul through a protracted, uninterrupted time in order to be present with the presence of God. I also appreciate your ongoing prayers for revitalization and the wisdom to make decisions that will lead to whole life health and walking in the light of his glorious grace. And so I want to thank you. Changing our direction a little bit. A couple of days ago, I read an interesting article. You may have heard about this week because it seems to be the talk. And it was an article about light, or rather the absence of light. You see, NASA has reported that there is a very large solar dust storm in outer space that is going to pass between the sun and the earth between December 16th and the 22nd. And that it's going to blot out the light of the sun. And the earth apparently is going to experience 6 days of darkness in just a few weeks from now. Now, I don't know how accurate those reports are or how much light will be blotted out, though there seem to be getting more and more attention on the world stage. You might hear about it on the news in the coming days. Only time will tell. But people are being encouraged to prepare for the possibility of the coming extended darkness, where there will only be artificial light on planet Earth for 6 days. It's making some people anxious, thinking that that's going to happen. You know, there was a time in history when the darkness seemed to be a permanent fixture. Not a physical darkness by the blotting out of the sun, although that has happened in Scripture, but a spiritual darkness that settled over the hearts of the children of God. In the Old Testament, as we read the story of Israel, we can see that Israel went through this cycle of disobedience, followed by discipline. Then they would repent to the Lord for their sin against him because of the discipline they went under. The Lord would restore them only so that they would fall back into disobedience again and continue the cycle. And so the Lord sent prophets to tell the people of Israel, if they did not remain faithful to God, that he would raise up or allow neighboring nations to enslave them and remove them from the promised land. Finally, the Lord allowed just that to happen. Because of the disobedience of the Israelites, so the Lord allowed the Assyrians to invade the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC. And all the inhabitants of Samaria were deported as slaves out of northern Israel. And then the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, was besieged by the Assyrians. And then a decade later by the Egyptians, and a few decades later by the Babylonians. And so for the next century or so, they were under occupation of a hostile nation. All of this was part of God's plan to discipline the children of Israel for their disobedience and tendency to fall into sin as soon as things got comfortable. The people of Israel had gone from being a force that would be reckoned with under the leadership of King David and King Solomon and King Hezekiah, the pinnacle of Israel's history, the largest that the kingdom had been pushed to the borders, were the largest borders that they had experienced, and they were respected among the nations as a force to be reckoned with. All that was being lost. The kingdom became divided against itself. The kingdom of Samaria and of Judah split Israel in half, having the northern kingdom come to an end in 721, and the southern kingdom occupied by the Assyrians. The people were scattered all over the ancient Near East. They were enslaved. They were assimilated into other cultures. They were oppressed by their enemies in the case of the southern kingdom of Judah. The dark days had come to Israel, and there didn't seem to be much hope of regaining the former glory of the united and prosperous kingdom of Israel. They longed for the days when David would sit on the throne. They longed for the days that David's ancestors would reclaim the throne in Jerusalem. But it seemed a pretty far stretch, considering the kingdom was divided up and nobody was sitting on a throne in Jerusalem, and they were under occupation. It was in this atmosphere of pervasive darkness that God raised up two particular prophets to give his people hope. First, he raised up Isaiah and then Micah. And what hope did God give his people in the face of utter defeat and darkness? What he told them through the prophets is that he would bring peace through a mighty ruler that would come from David's lineage. We read a portion of the scripture this morning during the Advent lighting, but I want to read to you it in its entirety. Isaiah chapter 9, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9. Says this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A little bit further in Isaiah chapter 11, the Israelites are told that a shoot will come up from Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And in verse 10 in chapter 11, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. So even though the people of Israel, the children of God, scattered and in a time of darkness, there was a glimmer of hope that was proclaimed to them by God through Isaiah. That a day was coming when they would be released from captivity and gathered together under the banner of a great ruler that came through the lineage of Jesse, the father of King David. Micah also brought prophecies of the demise of Judah as warnings, but also the promise of better days to come. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And in 5 verse 4 it continues, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." What a hope that was offered to the people while they were walking in darkness, when there seemed to be no hope, no chance. The prophets of the Lord speak words of hope to them, and they lived then in expectation of a great ruler who would come and establish a kingdom that would cover the whole earth and be established for eternity. Though they were in darkness, the glimmer of hope was bright. In fact, the darker that it is, the brighter a single candle seems to be. The word of the Lord was like a beacon of hope for the people of Israel. It would be another 600 years before the stage was set for the arrival of the promised Prince of Peace. But the hope that they had endured through those 600 or more years of waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. Now we look at this and we have the benefit of hindsight. And it said that hindsight is 20/20 vision. And it's true. We can look back and see things that the people at the time, they had no idea how God was going to do it. We read Isaiah and Micah, and we can obviously see the virgin birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem. It's as clear as day to us when we look at it. Our eyes have been opened to it, and we have history now that proves it. We recognize that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all those promises because we have the benefits of the New Testament. And so we can see how Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies, and it's recorded in the same book, the Bible, that we have. We didn't have the benefit of all the writings that we have. A glimmer of hope was given to them. But for us, we look back at it and say, that's so obvious. So it may be difficult for us to understand how the words of these prophets brought such hope and such longing for the coming of the mighty one of Israel. Let me make a suggestion that may help with getting your heart into a place of anticipation over this Advent series. Imagine with me, if you will, that the whole world was suddenly plunged into darkness, and the light of the sun was blotted out for a whole week. Just imagine. What would keep you hopeful that the light of the sun would return? Now, one thing is that there still may be glimmers of light that are not obstructed from view, and in the what is supposed to be the brightest time of the day, we might be able to see the outline of the sun against the gray or dark skies. So there's the glimmer of, we know that the sun's supposed to be there, and maybe things lighten up a little bit. Another that might give us hope would be that the astronomers have predicted that the blackout would only last 6 days. If NASA's actually right, and things go dark on December the 16th, I think that because they've said, don't worry, and it's only going to be for a time, and the sun will be back, I think that we could bear those 6 days of darkness. And in the darkness, you would be counting down the days in anticipation that the light will return. Let me just, I kind of do hope that NASA's right, to be honest with you. I know it's going to wreak havoc on the planet, but it's, no, just hoping that they're right doesn't make me wrong, okay? But if it happens, and I hope it does, if on December the 16th you wake up and the sun doesn't shine, I want you to embrace that anxiety, okay? Don't freak out, but embrace it. Live in the anxiety of the of those times of darkness. And allow your thoughts to begin to wander towards the appreciation of the promise of a light that is yet to dawn. The promise is that in a few days from now, the sun's going to come up again. Live in the tension of that moment and think about these scriptures that we've read today. In fact, I would encourage you to read Isaiah chapter 9, especially right around the 21st of December, to be thinking about the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. There's promise of what is yet to come. And allow the anticipation and the expectation, not for the sun to shine again, but translate that over to a spiritual concept and anticipate the coming of the Lord. In much the same way that the people of Israel anticipated the mighty one of God to appear on the scene and to save them. Further, I would encourage you to recognize that we are living in days of the hope for the return of Jesus, the same Jesus who came to earth 2,000 years ago. The next time that he returns, It will not be as a helpless baby in an obscure village in the ancient Near East, hidden in a manger. Now, the scriptures say that he will return with a loud trumpet blast, announcing his arrival to the entire world, and he's going to come riding on a white horse on a cloud as victorious king. Think that he'll have the world's attention the moment that he arrives on the scene the next time. And we are to live in the anticipation of this next arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The days in which we live are dark days, but we have seen a great light. And that should bring us tremendous hope for the days ahead, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. So live in anticipation, in expectation, in hope in Jesus. This morning we're observing the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to invite those that are assisting me with serving to come at this time. And the worship team, if you would also make your way to the stage. But the Lord's Supper is not only an expression of what Jesus did on the cross. Although, when we gather around this table, it's like a small drama. Because we're reenacting, in part, what happened the night that Jesus gathered with his disciples and had the Last Supper together. And so we reenact this to remind us that Jesus willingly went to the cross and he died a very real death and he was put in a real grave, a tomb. And we also remember that he didn't stay there, that he raised himself from the dead, defeated death, walked out of that tomb and ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of his Father. We remember all those things each time that we come to the communion table, the Lord's Supper. But it's not only about remembering what happened in the past. It's about anticipating his promises for the days ahead. It's about remembering that at this very table with his disciples, when he was telling them that he was going to die, he was also dropping hints that he was coming again. And so he would say things like, I will not drink this fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. The communion table is not about the end. The communion table is about what is yet to come. And so today, I really want it to be an expression of our expectation, the hope that we place in Christ, the anticipation of the day when he establishes his kingdom, not only on earth for a time, but ultimately the culmination of his kingdom in heaven. And so we look to those days. And may the hope of that carry us through the days ahead. We've called this, or it's usually referenced as the Lord's Supper. It's not the table of Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, or that you have to be a member of this church in order to participate in this. This drama is open to anybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ. Because when you take these emblems, which is, we just use grape juice as a symbol of the fruit of the vine, and unleavened bread crackers as a symbol of the bread that Jesus broke with his disciples, we offer these to you to join with us in this drama. And by participating, you're declaring your belief in Jesus And so if you are not at that point in your journey with God, then just pass the emblems along to somebody else. Nobody's going to judge you for not taking something here today. This is between you and God. It's an intimate time of expressing your inmost desires to God. And so in a moment, the worship team is going to lead us in some songs that we can spend a little bit of time contemplating, anticipating, expecting His next arrival. And as the elements are distributed, we ask that you just hold on to your bread and your cup for a few moments until we can all participate together.